Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, September 25th. The Delta County Health Department released its updated West Nile virus report on Tuesday. According to the press release, the health department is reporting 5 additional human cases of West Nile virus, bringing the total of diagnosed cases of West Nile in humans to 20. For more details on all cases, please see the Delta County website, which is deltacounty.com. The 5 additional human cases are as follows. The 16th case is a male from Paonia and is recovering from West Nile virus encephalitis. The 17th case is a female from the Surface Creek region of the county and is recovering from West Nile virus uncomplicated fever. The 18th case is a female from Paonia and is recovering from West Nile virus uncomplicated fever. The 19th case is a female from the Surface Creek region of the county and is recovering from West Nile virus uncomplicated fever. And the 20th case is a male from the Surface Creek region of the county and is recovering from West Nile virus uncomplicated fever. The presence of positive samples of mosquitoes is a clear indication that West Nile virus remains present and poses a risk to those who are bitten. August through September are the months when most human cases of West Nile virus have been reported in Colorado. Health officials say most people bitten by a West Nile virus-infected mosquito show no symptoms of illness. However, some people may develop symptoms 3 to 15 days after being bit. About 1 in 5 infected persons will have mild illness with fever, and about 1 in 150 infected people will become severely ill. Physicians are urged to test patients for the West Nile virus if they show signs of fever, altered mental status, suspected meningitis or encephalitis, or sudden painless paralysis in the absence of stroke in the summer months. The health department strongly urges the public to take precautions and preventative measures against being bitten by mosquitoes and becoming infected with the virus. The following prevention tips are encouraged. Drain standing water on property. Avoid being outdoors at dusk and dawn, the time when mosquito activity is highest. DEET is an effective ingredient to look for in bug repellent. Dress in long sleeves and pants during dusk and dawn and in areas where mosquitoes are active, and screen windows and doors of your home to keep the mosquitoes out. From the Colorado News Connection, some 60,000 Colorado children live in high-poverty, low-opportunity neighborhoods, according to new data from the Annie E. Casey Foundation. Eric Galatis has more.
Researchers looked at neighborhoods where poverty rates are 30% or more and found that 8.5 million children nationwide lived in these areas between 2013 and 2017. Sarah Hughes leads research initiatives with the Colorado Children's Campaign.
So we have almost 60,000 kids here in Colorado living in communities where access to high-quality child care is likely very hard to find, where good employment opportunities for mom and dad might be really difficult to pin down, where transportation tends not to be as reliable.
The percentage of Colorado kids in concentrated poverty dropped from 9% between 2008 and 2012 to 5% between 2013 and 2017. Hughes says a disproportionate number of kids in poverty continue to be children of color, a result of policies designed to keep those communities away from more prosperous neighborhoods. Scott Spencer with the Casey Foundation says growing up in high-poverty neighborhoods affects practically every part of children's lives. They tend to lack access to healthy food and quality medical care, often face greater exposure to environmental hazards, and can experience higher levels of chronic stress linked to diabetes, heart disease, and stroke. Spencer adds that when these children grow up, they are more likely to have lower incomes than children who have relocated away from communities of concentrated poverty.
Living in high-poverty neighborhoods puts young people at risk, and we think that they really deserve to live in communities where they can learn, play, and grow.
The Casey Foundation report offers some remedies, including property ownership models that preserve affordable housing and ensuring all neighborhoods have quality schools, access to job opportunities, reliable transportation, and safe places for recreation. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And we have some news from Colorado Parks and Wildlife. In a follow-up to a story we covered on the newscast, in late August, Parks and Wildlife officers wanted confirmation that they had captured the offending mountain lion involved in an attack on an 8-year-old boy in Park County. So, the agency sought help from the Wyoming Game and Fish Wildlife Forensic and Fish Health Laboratory in Laramie. DNA samples submitted to the forensics lab proved without a doubt that they had the offending mountain lion. Parks and Wildlife is contracted with the Wyoming Forensic Lab to conduct its forensic analyses. Colorado is one of 12 states that Wyoming does forensic work for, which soon will bump up to 14, as Utah and Kansas are in the process of formalizing contracts with the lab as well. The forensic lab is used as a tool in investigations over poaching cases and for positive identification in wildlife attacks on humans. Wyoming opened the new state-of-the-art facility in Laramie last summer. There are only 28 certified wildlife forensic scientists worldwide, and two of them operate out of the Wyoming facility. The Wyoming lab sees 70 to 80 cases a year from all the states they are contracted with, and of those, 5 to 10 are from wildlife attacks on humans. The tests the laboratory run are a crucial component in investigations. Serious violations of wildlife laws can be successfully prosecuted off of its results. The Wyoming lab can process forensic analysis on 13 species of wildlife: elk, moose, mule deer, white-tailed deer, bighorn sheep, mountain goats, black bears, pronghorn, bobcats, mountain lions, grizzly bears, turkey, and sage grouse. The lab keeps regional database samples on the various species to help with casework. Illegal poaching activities may require special efforts to detect, deter, and prosecute. Colorado has seen 49,994 wildlife violation citations issued in the last 10 years. Having a tool like the Wyoming Forensics Lab at its disposal to help prosecute the most serious of offenses plays a big part in helping protect and conserve Colorado's wildlife resource. And that was your KVNF Regional Newscast for Wednesday, September 25th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening. Thank you.